Been busy?
Yes, very busy.
Who's that speaking?
Very busy.
Quite a long time since I came and spoke to you, ain't it?
Yes.
Rose.
Oh, Rose,
I thought it was.
Did you recognise me?
Yes.
I suppose sometimes it's difficult for you to be quite sure.
Yeah, we all like to be
some of us, you see, we get out of the habit of coming, and then when we have an opportunity to come after a long time, we, to some extent, find it difficult, you know.
Yeah, I suppose you do.
It's not always possible to get through as clear and as nice as you'd like to. One gets out of the habit. But I was saying to myself, I thought it was about time I popped and saw how they were getting on. You know.
Thank you,
I ain't forgot you. I always ask after you and ask how you're getting on, and guess you're pretty busy with your work.
Yeah.
Oh, we're very busy.
Yeah. How are you, Rose?
Well, you've moved, didn't you, since I last came and spoke to you?
Yes,
I think
we did.
Yes, I heard as how you'd moved.
Yeah.
You know, in Worthing.
That's right.
Yeah. That's a bit of a snob place, ain't it?
Oh, well, you're pretty much as that. Rose, and you?
No,
have you moved at all yet?
Oh dear, what a question.
Well, you said you didn't want to move the last time.
No, I didn't want to, but I have.
You have?
Yes, but it sounds very odd, really, when you say to us, have you moved? I suppose when you talk about moving on your side, you have all sorts of natural thoughts about moving van and piling your stuff on it and unloading, getting it put in and the linoleum down and all that lark. Of course, moving here don't mean that, thank God. None of that. Moving in a way is easier, and yet at the same time it's harder. Because you can't move in until you've made it, you know, sort of possible for yourself. Which means that you've got to knuckle down and get something done about yourself, you know. Well, on your side, if you've got the money, you can move when you like.
Well, really?
The money don't mean a thing here, you see. You can only move when you yourself, by your very nature and your character, have been able to do something about it. Don't sort of up and just move when you think you will here, eh?
Rose, how did you actually move? What did you go through? Did you have a sort of special experience?
Well, I suppose it really amounts to taking notice and listening to what other people who are more experienced than yourself and trying to follow out the things that you're told and gradually learning that there's a great deal to be understood which is necessary and essential before you can make any change. You see, I suppose it is that a lot of people like myself, you're quite content and you're quite happy. You find that you've got all that you could possibly want, or feel that you've got everything you could possibly want, so there's no point in making any change, and you certainly don't desire it. I mean, after all, if you're in an atmosphere surrounding such as I was, which was very pleasant, very comfortable, and I was meeting all sorts of friends and people I'd known in the past, and I'd got, well, everything that I could wish for, but then again, I wasn't ambitious. But then again, I realise that ambition can be a bad thing, but providing you've got ambition in the right sense, and that is for knowledge and the thirst for knowledge and a realisation like within yourself that you can better yourself and gain an experience which will make you a different person. In other words, it's so easy to get set in your thoughts and your ways and your ideas. And sometimes, of course, you cling to thoughts and ideas that, well, they seem to be all right for you. But you, after a time, you think, well, I don't know, perhaps this isn't quite what it should be. And you start sorting yourself out and wanting to know more. And then when you reach a certain point and you realise that the environment you're in is all right for what it is, but it's not sufficient.
What's it like on your new
Well, it's very beautiful, of course. I wouldn't say myself that it's necessarily any more beautiful than the place in which I was before. But how can I put it? I should say yes, it's very beautiful, of course. We have a magnificent place setting and scenery and all that is lovely, feeling of contentment, I suppose. Of course there's that, but I find that I'm happier because I'm working. I think it was that in the other place I didn't have really anything to do. I did take some interest in the children, of course, but at the same time I wasn't what I would call active, not in the same way that I am now. Now I seem to find all sorts of things to do and people to visit and places to go to, and well, I feel as if I'm doing something, I suppose, creative.
What sort of work are you doing, Rose?
Well, I know it sounds odd now, in a way, but, well, I've been going to what you would call, I suppose, college,
yeah.
Or if you like, you can call it a school,
yeah.
In which we learned a tremendous amount about ourselves and the potentiality within ourselves and the creative power that's there, dormant, you might say. Because you see, when I used to be on your side, I wasn't creative or anything like that, and I hadn't got any background or education. And of course, here I'm learning that every human being has great sort of possibility within themselves to be not only creative, but also to be able to give their selves and their experience to others and to demonstrate gradually through one's own evolution for those who are perhaps not so advanced. Now, you see, I can go back to other spheres and I can express myself better. And I can explain things, and I can talk to people, and I can sort of make them understand a great deal that probably before I would never have been able to do. I could never express myself well, really, but now I can, and that to me is a wonderful thing. And now I'm able to go into the lower spheres and talk to the people, to try and educate them a bit, to make them realize that the situation in which they find themselves is to a great extent their own fault. Indeed, it is their own fault. And until such time as they themselves begin to seek and are prepared to accept advice that's given and follow it out, they will not be able to rise above their present circumstances. It's within themselves. It's very difficult to find ways of expressing, even now, you know, some things. What was you saying, Mum?
Well, what I wanted to ask you really is, when you went from your old plane to the one you're on now, did you fall asleep and find yourself on another plane, or was it a gradual?
Well, I didn't start turning around and starting packing things up and then going, if I can get a bang. Because that's quite unnecessary here. You see, all your possessions and all the things that you love here are, although they're real as anything you have, at the same time, they are only real until such time as you think beyond them. You know what I mean?
You think you can do without some of them?
Oh, you realize you can do without all of them. And I suppose that's the beginning of progress. You see, when you become possessive, whether it's about a person or a thing, although it's very human, at the same time it's not a good thing. You see, you must learn, for instance, to love something or love somebody, which is more important still, without any possessiveness. You must realize that those things or those people that you love in themselves are as individual as you are, and they have a right to their own individuality. But with people in particular, as you love a person more and more, your love is less and less possessive. You're only concerned with their welfare and their good. You're not concerned with your personal self and that personal side of things. In other words, you're prepared if necessary even to sacrifice yourself.
Yeah.
In other words, you're prepared to give things up, or to give people up, if necessary, if it is for their good. But of course, when there is true love and true understanding, then it's as if you're working as one, not as an individual. But when you lose your individuality, that is, you lose your possessiveness in the desire for someone else's good, you are really bringing yourself closer in harmony and closer in touch with that person, and that person is growing closer to you in consequence.
Oh, I see what you're driving at.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
You see, I'm talking not about, in a sense, I'm not talking so much about the present.
No.
But all the time one is conscious of what one is achieving for the future.
Yes.
In other words, you're creating circumstances by your thoughts and your actions by which, although you don't think of benefit in the sense that you understand the meaning of the term, you are benefiting those that you love, those that you're trying to help, and in helping and thinking of others, indirectly you are doing things for yourself. But you don't have that motive. Now on earth, the vast majority of people, when they're thinking about someone else and wanting to help that person, quite often they themselves are so sort of caught up in it that they are, in a sense, thinking of themselves.
Mm. Yes.
You understand what I mean? You see, you look at it purely on a material basis, and you do find that when people are concerned with someone else's advancement or well-being, they're thinking of their own circumstances as well. In the case of a wife, she's thinking, well, if I do everything I can to help Jack along, sort of thing, and one way or the other the business will improve and he'll get on a bit, you see, and then perhaps we'll have a nicer house, and then perhaps we'll have another car or a new car. You see, quite often the motive behind people on your side loving a person or helping a person or concerning themselves with a person is, in a sense, though they don't always realize it, is quite often rather a selfish motive, but it's rather on a material basis. You see, when you think of other people here, you don't think in a selfish way. You don't think, oh well, by helping so-and-so and so-and-so, I'm going to get a feather in my cap, or I'm going to sort of get a little credit. You don't think of credit and you don't think of feathers in your cap. All the time you're thinking of what you can do for others. How you can lift them out of the mire, how you can give them a new insight into things that matter, how you can make them respond or help them to respond to something that you know is good for them, which at the time they may think is not, or they're not interested in, or they don't even see it. I mean, when we come down to earth to help you people, or whether we go to other spheres to help their less fortunate souls who are earthbound, we don't have any selfish thoughts or any feeling of ourselves in it. In fact, we get great happiness, great joy out of coming, being able to talk to people, to give them some little something that we feel will help them to have a little more courage and a little more faith, and perhaps, who knows, help them to think on a different line, so that they in turn will not only get a kind of peace which they hadn't had before, but they can help others. Yes, but we have subtle colourings too.
You do, yes.
Is your house different now, Rose?
That's another thing, isn't it? Naturally, you... Now that is so typical. I don't mean, in a sense, unkind to you.
No, no.
But people will say, when you get on, you make progress.
Yeah.
Is your house a better house than you had in the last place? Or have you got a nicer place? Or are you more happy where you are? Well, of course, people always seem to think that if you progress, you must be better off. Or you must have something better than you had before. You see, that is the feeling that one has, I suppose, from a material point of view, that as you progress, everything will get better and better and better, and you'll be more satisfied and you'll have more to show for it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that's a funny thing, you see. Now, some people, for instance, would only be happy if they've got their own little house, everything in it was just the way they wanted it, perhaps all the things that they never had on earth. If they got those things here, they'd be content and happy. That's exactly what does happen with a lot of people. They do get those things, and they are content and they are happy for a time.
Yeah.
But you see, when you start really getting to know yourself and to know what you really want and the possibility of what you can really become, it isn't the size of the house or what you've got in the house or anything like that at all. You'll be probably, as indeed I found, much happier in a higher state of being, or shall we say a more progressed state of being, with none of those things. Perhaps sharing with hundreds of other people in a large building,
yeah,
where you haven't got the same privacy and you haven't got the same amount of material things or things that you thought were necessary. It's as you lose this sort of feeling of self and what you think you would like or ought to have. Once you lose yourself, you'll find happiness in sharing with multitudes of other people without necessarily having the individual house or this or that that you thought was necessary. You see, progress doesn't mean to say that you're going to have more. You may, in a sense, from the point of view of, shall we say, possessions and so on, have much, much less. But what you do have more of is more love, more peace of mind, more tranquility, as you call it, and more happiness, because you're all the time you are feeling that you are doing and you're giving and you're loving and you're part of the rest of humanity. In other words, it's only when you lose yourself that you find yourself. And when you start to try to, as it were, become blended or emerge away from the old self, that you become happier because you are with and part of others. In other words, you don't want the individual things. It's the sort of feeling that you have thrown off the old individual craving for this and that, and you must have this and so on. It's when you lose your selfishness that you find your real self, and you don't have as much as so it seems, that is in possessions and so on, but you have far, far more in peace and tranquility of thought and mind and oneness with the rest of humanity. And in the progress that you've made, you find that you are so merged with the vast numbers of souls that although you still retain yourself, your personality, you've become so part of the rest of life and humanity that the old things don't matter anymore.
Mm. That'd be wonderful.
I know, I see it over and over again. I see it in your world. I see it on certain spheres near the earth. This driving sort of, I suppose it can be called selfishness, this feeling of wanting this and wanting that, and being content, but no one's content for long. You give them everything that they want, you give them all the things they thought they needed, and after a time it palls on them and they want a bit more of something else. They find that it isn't what they thought it was going to be, and they don't get peace and happiness really, for any length of time that is, from having the possessions. I thought I'd be so content with all the things that I had, but I soon began to realize that although in a way I was doing things for others, I wasn't doing enough, and I was finding that these things didn't mean as much to me as they did before, and that there was something else I had to strive for. I had to find out what it was, but I found that within myself I wasn't getting the satisfaction, and I think that be satisfied, you've got to really lose this perceptiveness, whether it's of individuals or whether it is of articles or things, you know, these things are all right for a time, but it's like you in your world. You go through life, you possess things, you create things and conditions for yourself, you get yourself a nice little house and you furnish it, and you're happy. But the point is, if you live for centuries, you'd soon get fed up with it. Fortunately, you don't live that long, that you get that perhaps that much dissatisfied, if you're fortunate enough, as you think, to have the things you want. Of course, there are thousands of people who never do get what they think they want, and perhaps in a way that they're better off. And you know, it's a very strange thing. People are quite often striving and struggling for something, which when they have it, doesn't really bring them peace and the happiness they thought it would. And the people who don't achieve those things are all the sort of thinking one day perhaps it may happen until they get too old, and then they think, oh well, I shall never get it now, and if I do it won't make much difference. And in a way, strange as it may seem, sometimes those people are better off, because it's true, when they come here they probably will have for a time those things, but it won't be so important to them. It's a very odd thing. But you see, I think so many people are trying to hold on to things, whether it's in your world or to some extent in this, to things that don't matter. You see, when people first come here, what they want, in a sense, is the reflection of the things they wanted on earth and never had, or the things they did have, and they want them here. Whether it's a nice house and nice furniture and all the things that they wanted, to some extent, those things can be theirs here. But these things are only in the mind. And when you begin to realize that these things aren't what they seemed and aren't as important as they appeared to be, so once you empty your mind of these old material thoughts and desires, then you start to sort of do something about yourself. And while you're thinking of yourself all the time, you're not making any advancement. That's what I found. Once I stopped thinking about what I wanted and what I got and what I might have, I started to realize that it didn't matter. What really mattered was what I might be achieving or doing in helping to others in some shape or form, and really learning things that would be of value. You see, the things that really count, of course, are the things of the mind and the spirit. They're not these things which, in a sense, are merely a reflection of material desire. It's even more your spiritual progress, the less material you are.
Rose, let me ask you something. When you go down to lower spirits to teach others, how do you first set about trying to teach them? What sort of methods do you adopt?
Well, I suppose the first thing to do, and I certainly found it the most important thing, and I think there's the first and the most important people. But to some extent, you've got to enter into their thoughts and their way of life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no good some highfalutin, it's like on your side. It's no good for some highfalutin so-and-so to go along full of knowledge and full of la-di-da to some poor downtrodden so-and-so and start sort of spouting at him. It's like the pastor, let's face it. I mean, he's nothing away, he's quite comfortable himself. He doesn't want for anything really of any consequence. He starts telling the very poor people to be grateful and to start thanking God. You see, I mean, that's stupid. You've got to be with people and be part of their lives. You've got to understand them. You've got to know them. You've got to suffer as they suffer before you can hope to be able to help them. So I can really honestly go to people knowing that I've gone through what they've gone through. I've experienced what they've experienced. I can meet them on their own level.
Yes.
And I can help them because of that. There's no good for these high and mighty so-and-sos who preach la-di-da and all the rest of it. They're just out of touch. They wouldn't know which they couldn't even reach these people. That's been a tragedy, of course. Let's face it, a religion for ages. I mean, the pastors and all the rest of it, they don't know what it is to have gone through the mill, or very few of them.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, they wouldn't understand that in the pulpit and give a lecture if they got the education and the background. But then again, if I haven't got the experience of suffering and heaven knows what else that goes with it, then it's just empty words. Anyway, I don't want to get on to religion, do I?
What is your colour and your music, you have music.
Oh, beautiful music, and that's another thing, you see. I'm very, very fond of music. And I'm learning now how to express myself in music. And I'm learning a great deal about colour and what colour can do, what it can achieve and how to use it. We have colours here beyond your description, beyond your experience. Fast colour. And we have vast places here where the flowers are, well, so beautiful you can hardly begin to describe them. I've seen bluebells blushing 6 feet high.
Oh,
yeah. Like a forest.
Animals,
all kinds of animals. But animals, I was going to say, the difference. That sounds perhaps rather odd, but who can convey their thoughts to you? In a kind of way, there's a sort of telepathy, as if they know what you're thinking and trying to convey, and you can tell what they're thinking. I suppose, in a sense, you might say, for the first time, you can hold conversation. I don't mean a verbal conversation, but a conversation of mind and of spirits. Well, no one need worry about coming here, providing they're prepared to work. And I really mean that work, but I mean work in the sense that you want to open up your heart and your mind to things that truly are worthwhile. You soon begin to learn there are many things you thought were marvellous and necessary. You soon realise that they're not so important. And once you start losing your hold of them, then you start progressing. The vast majority of people, I think, soon begin to realise that much as they thought was necessary isn't necessary. It was a, you might say, a throwback to the material, bringing over thoughts and ideas that they considered necessary from the old material plane. They soon lose it, you know. They soon throw it off. Most people do, anyway. Of course, there are some who don't. And I think some of the worst people are those who have such strong fixed ideas on a religious basis. They just can't get rid of it. Well, I think, you know, the more I see, the more convinced I am that some of the biggest drawbacks to people making really spiritual advancement are these people who've got hard and fast ideas about religion. Because that, to many of them, is a drawback. Their minds aren't open, they're closed. They really are. You'd be surprised. You can't get near them, you can't reach them, you can't tell them anything. They know all the answers, and they just, you might say, carry on their lives in their own sweet way, waiting for the time when they'll be resurrected. The number of people that you come across, you know, who live in communities who really believe that they are only here temporarily and they're waiting for the time when they'll come back to Earth. Why in the world do you want to come back to your world? I don't know. They think that they will come back and that they will reign on Earth, that they're going to be for a special privileged people. You see, it's all vanity. When you get down to the rock bottom, you know, it all boils down to being a vain, hypocritical type of individual, that they are specially privileged, and that they will reign on Earth, and they will be the ruling people. You know, that it appalls me, you know.
Rose, are you wearing a different colour now?
Well, I go in a great deal for purple. I must say I do love it. It's one of my favourite colours, violet and mauve and purple.
What do people like
to do? Are
they very nice?
Of course they are. What a funny question.
You know, but,
of course they're very nice and very much more spiritually aware and advanced than many that I've been associated with before.
Do you know the last hair that I've had in the people that, do they have long hair?
Yes, and long, but, oh dear, it's funny. You don't have to cut it.
Yeah.
It's a matter of thinking. If you feel that you like your hair long, then it's long. But if you think it's not necessary, you wouldn't like it that long, then you control it by the power of thought. But then again, everything is controlled by the power of thought. Anyway, I can't hold on no more. But we'll have another talk another time, shall we?
Absolutely.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I wish I could do better.
This
tape will do no end.
Well, I hope
so. Bye-bye. Goodbye. Bye-bye.
Thank you.